One father, two sons, three microphones, and 64 great 90s movies. Welcome to Elimination Season 2.
Season 2's well underway, round 1. It is 90s movie versus 90s movie. I am Bob, your host, with my older brother Mike.
Hello.
And my dad playing with his microphone.
Again.
How do?
It's becoming a regular thing, Dave. Are you alright with it now?
Gotta get comfortable. You're a long time.
Well, you've only been here 40 seconds so far, so...
Okay.
You all right?
You gonna carry on, or...
Do you want a cushion, or...?
Just slag me off all the whole episode.
Do you want a cushion, or...?
I like it. I like the way it's going.
I like the unprofessional side of things.
I do.
So we made the draw at the end of the last episode, as you know, because you've listened to it, listener.
Okay, you got one listener?
Just the one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's me.
Fred. Fred from Aldershot.
Aldershot.
I'll bet he's from Islington.
Yeah, Islington mob. They went up to 51%, yeah, our listeners. What is going
crazy.
On?
Crazy.
What is happening? Well, we know what the bout is.
Yeah, it's Pulp Fiction. Versus a host.
Shall I give you a bit of info, Robert?
Yeah, go on. Pulp Fiction first, Dave.
Okay. Pulp Fiction is a 1994 black comedy crime film written and directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, Tim Roth, Ving Rhames, and Uma Thurman. It tells several stories of criminal Los Angeles. The title refers to the pulp magazines and hard-boiled crime novels popular in the mid-20th century, known for their graphic violence and punchy dialogue. Up against Ghost, which is a 1990 American romantic fantasy thriller film directed by Jerry Zucker, written by Bruce Joel Rubin and starring Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg. The plot centres on a young woman in jeopardy, the ghost of her murdered lover and a reluctant psychic who assists him in saving her. Whoopi Goldberg won Best Supporting Actress Oscar and the film won Best Original Screenplay.
Dave, just read out that first line of Ghost again.
It's a 1990 American romantic fantasy thriller.
Fantasy thriller? What? Because it's got everything, Ghost, isn't it? The film Ghost.
Yeah, that's why they call it a romantic fantasy thriller.
Romantic fantasy thriller. Can't be many of them out there.
No,
surely
it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to know how they.
So it wasn't a criticism.
No. So I just wanted to get, because it has got everything, Ghost. It's got the love story. You've got the comedy.
Demi Moore.
Yeah. You've got the horror of the. I used to hate when the black things came down.
Do you know what that noise was?
No.
How they made that? It's babies crying played backwards.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it does work. I
babies
used to hate
crying
that.
Is the worst noise.
Yeah, it is.
Especially someone else's baby.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I love Ghost. I really do.
Highest grossing film of 1990.
Agreed.
What was the second?
Agreed.
Agreed?
I concur.
It was.
You know, Unchained Melody, when I watched this film, that's the first time I really heard it. Because it's one of them hits. It wasn't a big hit in the 60s. I think it only got about the number 13, something like that. Their biggie was You've Lost That Loving Feeling. Everyone knows that one.
You've lost... The love and feeling.
Anyway, that was their biggie, and that was a big number one. But this one, just for me, it passed me by. So when it came along, I didn't realise it was an old song. But it obviously was. It's even in the 50s with Jimmy Young. So I mean, it goes back and back and back. But then it was ruined later on by
Robson and Jerome
and Gareth Gates.
I think they made it better.
No,
yeah, they didn't cut a quid out of it.
I can't see a pottery wheel without thinking.
Well, Swayze said that's the sexiest thing he's ever done on screen.
Well, I suppose it would be.
Mm. I mean, yeah, he's never did Pong, I don't think.
not that we know of. Yeah. This was Swayze at his the peak, wasn't it?
He was
brilliant.
Mm,
yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I love the way. And you, do you guys, when you watch Ghost,
you guys,
is there? Oh God, I said it. Oh, mind you, there's no women in. That's fine. Do you have a pang of kind of, you know, that sort of sad feeling when you watch Ghost at all?
No,
it's just good. It's just a good film.
I remember me and your mum.
Sorry, though.
I remember me and your mum went to watch this at the cinema when it first came out. And as we got up, as the film ended and the credits were going up, we got up from our seat and there was two women about four seats in front, and everyone else was skulking out. They were sitting there hugging each other, crying their eyes out, tears.
You see, that's everything. What I mean.
That it was like someone had died they knew, you know, like they was at a funeral or something. They were overcome with grief.
And
I thought, you stupid cows.
The thing that
I should have said, oh, come on, you guys.
Yeah. The main emotion it sort of evokes from me is how much I hate his mate.
Oh, yeah. So he plays that really well as well.
Yeah, so I get more sort of hatred towards him than I do emotional for the other side of it.
But right at the end where he appears with the white behind him and she says, I love you or whatever, and she says, ditto. Don't that just...
I mean, it's nice.
Sort of a wave of kind
it's
of...
It's a nice moment.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I've cried when I've watched that. It's... I just... The thing is, you raise your eyebrows, but that's what it's there for.
Dad,
that's what it's there for. It's the same reason I was...
Dad, it's not your proudest moment, is it?
No.
That's why I think I was scared of Blair Witch, you know, because I'm not a bloke watching a film.
Watching a film.
Hey. I'm there. I'm engrossed in it. It's like when me and my missus watch a scary film.
Does it make your vagina twitch?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
sorry, what was that too far?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I think that's the difference between me and used to. It's my missus has the same as well. We watch a film, a romantic film or anything. Marley and me, I was absolutely bawling my eyes out. But
what's Marley and me?
No, it's the dog dies.
It's the dog. No, it does. No, it's not just the dog dies. That's not the whole film.
Yes.
It's a really
It's
good
way
film.
Too long and boring. Trust me, you'd hate it.
What, the dog?
The whole thing.
Well, it's sausage
anyway,
dog, is it?
Cute puppy. No, it's like a labradoodle dog.
But
thing.
That's the difference. Is I'm not me watching the film. I'm there. I'm experiencing this. I'm feeling what that person feels. And used to just rolling your eyes at me like two stone flipping statues there. But that's what these films
I feel
are
emotion.
For.
I just told you. I feel a lot of anger towards the other guy.
There's a lot of anger.
Of course it is an emotional thing. I mean, do you know what? I won't say it because it might involve a film that we do cover. But of course it does. It sort of make you think, oh.
And that's it.
Yeah. Meh. Yeah, I mean it's a beautiful moment, and it's well done as well. Because he's sort of translucent, isn't he? And she's weeping,
and he walks off.
She's just amazingly pretty. Though.
There is a weird moment in it, though, isn't there?
Is there?
There is.
Where he pushes the coin up the door.
No, that I can accept that.
That's wicked.
Or the get off my train.
Yeah, that's fine
by me. It's the bit where he goes inside Whoopi Goldberg, and they have a little bit of a.
Yeah, that was a bit strange.
It's just because they're closing their eyes, but she's Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore in like a lesbian.
No, but she closes her eyes and it's him touching her.
I know, I get it, I understand it. It's just that bit.
How can you cry at the end and not get, you know? Because it's them together and he's touching her the way that he did, and you know, you would know if your missus. I mean, me, it would hurt.
Yeah,
you know if it's your missus touching her.
I like the Ada Mae Brown. She's when they first hears Patrick Swayze's voice, Sam. Mm. When she first hears his voice, who is that? You can hear me. And then the next time he goes there, the room is full of ghosts.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And the check. Do you remember the check where she has to give it away to the
nuns?
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Do you think she deserved a best supporting actress?
Yeah, I do. She was really good. It was a really good role for her.
She could have played Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
She's great. I love. Who doesn't love Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
I liked her in Star Trek Next Generation.
So did I, yeah.
Galen.
Galen, yeah. She was the waitress.
She did...
Barkeep.
She was more than that, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, Jumping Jack
she
Flash.
She knew stuff. Oh, yeah, when she was trying to work out the words of the song, no, she couldn't understand a word he was saying,
yeah.
Which nobody could.
No. Jumping Jack Flash.
That's a wicked film.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in years, but yeah I always remember
that's got to be 80s, isn't it?
I think the front cover is her with a massive toothbrush. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, actually. I don't know why that was confused me.
No, I only saw it when it first came out.
Sister Act?
I liked it. I like that film. They're doing a new one, which I'm not happy about.
No, she's in the stage show.
What's that, Sister Act 9? Yeah.
Jennifer Saunders is in it.
Is she?
Yeah. But then there's no crowd because COVID and that, so I don't know why they're making a new one.
Weird.
Mm. Well, Pulp Fiction.
Classic.
Look at that cast.
Wow. I've got a thing about the cast, yeah? Because do you know what the budget was for this film?
No.
Yeah. $82 million.
$8.5 million.
That's what I said.
$8.5 million was the budget for this film. You think about who's in it, right? So all of the actors took a pay cut, but they got what is it from the earnings of it?
Royalties.
So they get a percentage. Yeah, $50 million was the average budget of a film in the '90s, and that was 8.5. And what a movie!
It is a great movie, and I like the way it jumps around. Some people don't, but I didn't mind that at all.
At that time, it was very Quentin Tarantino, wasn't it? That whole jumping around and the beginning part behind. And I always forget that Bruce Willis is a boxer. It starts off like that, doesn't it? I always forget that. Mm. And
Butch.
Yeah.
Zed's dead, huh?
Yeah.
Zed's dead.
Whose motorcycle is this? it's a chopper. Whose chopper is this?
Yeah. She's lovely, that little French girl.
She wants a pot belly, doesn't she?
Yeah. A little pot.
Yeah. And his watch. Yeah. I hit the watch up my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you forget Christopher Walken.
Sammy Davis Jr. That's a different film.
Jim Roth.
Yeah.
Jim Roth.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, he was Buddy Holly,
wasn't he?
Yeah, right. The waiter.
Yeah. And did you know there's a link? There is a link between that and Kill Bill, because Uma Thurman, obviously, in both of them. There's a bit where when they're sitting there.
Was Kill Bill Tarantino as well?
Yeah. And never seen it.
I didn't like it. It was too kind of much. Yeah.
Carry on, Bob.
Martial arty. I didn't really like it. But he. So while they're sitting there, she tells him about the program that they wanted to make.
Five, four, seven, or something.
No,
she did a pilot.
The pilot.
Something like that.
Well, that is connected to Kill Bill because she says the same thing, like loosely based on the same characters. Right. So like they're from the same world, you know, like they do the Tarantino world. That was one of the links. There was.
It's like a manga with real people, Kill Bill.
Yeah, it is. I didn't really like it.
I watched it. I don't think I would want to watch it again. I didn't hate it.
It was a tipping cap to like the martial arts,
the old school.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And like with the crazy stuff happening where they float
jumping
through
over
the sky.
Buildings and stuff.
Crouching Tiger and all that sort of stuff. But that, when I think about when I say Pulp Fiction, oh, I dropped the mic.
pick me up.
When I say Pulp Fiction, what scene comes to your mind? Because there are loads.
My favourite scene is where they go back to the beginning of the film and they're robbing the diner, and Samuel Jackson's sitting there.
Oh yeah, bad motherfucker.
They've both got their guns. That's great. Yes.
That wallet. That was Tarantino's wallet.
Yeah, I know that. That's a good fact. You can buy that one.
And the car as well, the red car, that was his car.
There's
he got stolen and they found it 20 years later.
I don't know if this is if this is meant to happen.
Red Malibu.
Thank you for that detail.
No one registered that, so.
New. The bit, you know, any of you fucking pigs move and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you. That. He said at the beginning of the film and at the end, but the same moment. But she says it differently.
Does he?
Yeah. And this is a funny thing. When I've mentioned this before, nobody's ever said, oh, yeah, I know she
does. Did you notice this or have you read this?
I noticed it. If you play them two, one after the other,
I'd have to do that.
They're different. They are different. And that always baffled me.
The words are different. Worded differently, or
no, she doesn't say it the same. It's supposed to be the same moment, exactly the same.
Yeah,
moment.
But is it the same moment from a different sort of perspective?
Well, and I don't know.
Sounding a little bit different from across the way or something.
Well, if you're out there, people, listen to it and you be the judge. But she says it differently. It's not the same.
Well,
so there's you know, just a little interesting fact. But the bit that pops into my head when you say Pulp Fiction is the Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese,
and that's one of the Tarantino things that he does. Is he has people just talking. You, a lot of the times they say don't waste the scene. If you're writing a film or whatever, don't waste the scene. The scene leads to something. It's got a plot point. It's got he not all of his does that. He does have scenes where people are just talking.
Yeah.
And I love that when they're talking about a $20 shake and all that kind of stuff. They just
he wrote the original the first draft. He was in Amsterdam. What was the film he did before that?
Reservoir Dogs.
So he had like 50 grand or something. He went on a 3-month vacation to Amsterdam, and that's where he wrote the first draft of this. True story.
Wow, good fact.
Yes, indeed. Well, I mean, you got loads of scenes. I mean, I quite like the scene of him, Travolta. After he's just took his hit or whatever, and he's driving in his car with the music on, and he's all hazy. It just looks cool. I know he's just taking drugs. It's got nothing to do with it. It's just that view of him driving this lovely car with a warm breeze.
It's just a very long film because a lot happens in this.
Yeah,
film,
I know.
It?
Yeah, it really does.
It didn't appear to be a long film when I was watching it, but like Titanic is obviously a very long film. Yeah. I don't think it's 3 hours on this one, but it must be over 2 hours, surely.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But a lot does happen. I mean, when you think about bringing out the Gimp and all that kind of stuff, I mean, he taps on his head. Do you know what I mean? There's so much that happens. The boxing, the Royal with cheese, the Marvin, and then
he shot Marvin in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what was in the case?
Yeah, they reckon it was the soul of the black guy.
Yeah, Marcel.
Yeah. But I mean, because he had the plaster on the back of his head. So everyone was like, oh, what was that? That was where his soul escaped from or something. But he just cut his head shaving. But they liked it because it just added something.
Yeah, yeah.
So they kept it in.
Marcel Wallace.
Yeah, he was scary motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go with him with a load of Biebers. And
he could have just walked away, couldn't he? He could have just left him down there.
Yeah.
It's a 2.5-hour film. 150 minutes.
It doesn't feel like that, does it?
It doesn't drag, does it? No.
Did you know as well, Uma Thurman, that part was offered to two other people. Do you know who they were?
I always get her and Cameron Diaz muddled up for some reason. I don't like
it. Wasn't Cameron Diaz.
I don't know.
It was Jennifer Aniston.
I couldn't see.
I know, that, right? Yeah. And risky. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You know the bird? I think she does a vamp. She was in Seinfeld and Brown Air Bird.
Oh, yeah, I know. Seinfeld.
But they obviously were, they was both busy with those programs, Friends, and, yeah. And they
not
didn't
really
do it.
Jennifer Aniston's
well, no, but.
I mean, when you see her.
But could her career have gone a completely different way had she done it?
It's a good point, yeah.
Because she's been in a lot of really very average, very tame films. I haven't seen her in any really excellent
film.
Derailed with Clive Owen. That was probably the best thing I've seen.
I've not seen that.
Yeah. Any other time, she's just Jennifer Aniston, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
But how different, you know?
You never know. Yeah, you never know. And of course, you've got the famous Samuel Jackson quote: "I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance." Furious anger.
You know, that isn't actually a passage in the Bible. They Tarantino and whoever wrote it with him wrote it.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It just sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
And obviously Harvey Keitel turns up, as the wolf. Mm. And he says, right, take your clothes off and clean this down and poses.
Has it been spoiled by all the adverts?
Yeah, definitely. Direct line. Yeah. Oh, God.
He doesn't spoil the movie. He's got nothing to do with anything.
No, but I don't see Harvey Keitel as a... I don't know. It seems like selling out. I don't know why. I know it's silly. He's making money and that's what he's doing it for, feeding his kids or whatever. But I don't know. It's just... Especially because it's that character as well.
Yeah, I think that. Wait!
What?
It's time for...
Oh, here we go.
Bob versus Mike.
Ooh, explosive.
Are you ready, gang?
No.
Yeah, I am.
What's the score? Am I winning?
No.
No, you're 1-0 down.
I am winning.
This next round has got 25 possible answers.
Oh.
But you're only going to get about two each, I reckon.
Is it Royal Rumble winners?
Yeah, right.
What the bloody hell's going on?
He's just thrown the coin. I've got another one. Jesus, what was that flip? He just takes somebody's eye out with that.
Go on, Bob.
Heads.
Heads it is.
Yes.
Now, do you want to hear the subject? I'll tell you what the subject is.
Yeah, go on.
The subject is Robert De Niro movies with one-word titles.
Oh.
I've got 25 of them here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, first or second. I'll go first then. flipping hell.
Oh, what? You've won.
I'll go... Oh, see, I'm questioning myself if he's in any of these films now.
Heat. Heat is on the list. Michael.
Casino.
Is on the list. Robert.
Oh, God, I'm going to struggle now.
Oh, by the way, you can't have the something. It's got to be just really one word. Well.
Well.
This is salubrious.
Robert's who?
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is on the list.
Stardust.
Stardust.
Oh, flipping, I forgot about it.
Stardust. Stardust is on the list. Robert.
Sleepers.
Sleepers is on the list. Somewhere. Yeah, there it is. Michael.
Dad, shut up.
It's terrible podcast. You just listen to our struggles.
I'll just turn you down.
No, Dad's got to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I've got to fill in the gaps.
Go on, entertain the troops, Dave, while we think.
Let me entertain you. Come on, Michael. I'm going to give you 10 seconds from now.
I just can't get a Taxi Driver out of my head.
Are you giving up?
I have to.
Awakenings.
Correct.
Yes.
You could have also had Joker.
Oh, yeah, he's in that. Yeah, I forgot.
Brazil. Ronin. Yeah. Showtime.
Oh, I love that film.
Limitless. Freelancers. Heist. That was a good film, Heist.
I think we got that.
He was in Backdraft. And Frankenstein.
No,
plus plenty of others.
Yeah, you know, I think I did right there.
Yeah, me too.
1-1.
Yes.
What? 1-1.
Well played, Bob.
That was
Bob versus Mike.
Back in the game.
Yeah,
back of the net.
Back of the net. Spill my cheese.
Dave,
I watched Alpha Papa last night.
What?
Alpha Papa, I don't like it. It's really bad.
But yeah. It's still him.
The only good bit was when he's stuck in the window with his trousers around his ankles.
What's that? What are we talking about?
Alan Partridge.
Mm. Oh,
he wanted to call it. Hold on, let me just get this right. Colossal Velocity. That's what you wanted to call it.
That's weird. I like that better. Colossal Velocity.
It's very Alan Partridge.
I love it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, I've got a little fact for you.
Go on.
I'm gonna ask you both a question, see who gets closest, yeah?
Okay.
How many times in Pulp Fiction was the F word used?
Oh.
Don't look at my page. 17. Right.
17 times.
Oh, a lot more than that. 17. I reckon.
All right, then.
87 times.
265 times.
Oh, my God.
There's a fact for you. Ding, ding.
That is a great fact. Yeah. What the?
17?
No, but I think it's too much.
You must have watched it on ITV when they let them all out.
Yeah. There was a lot of beep, beep. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. It got opened on the cinema the same day as Shawshank.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, obviously.
Very fine films.
Yeah, it did. I mean, what a day to go to the cinema.
Yeah,
right?
Double bill, yeah. Oh,
what should we watch? Both.
Yeah.
in no particular order.
God. Have you ever bunked in the cinema?
I can't remember.
I don't know if you can
though.
Do it now. But
hey!
So, looking at the back, it was so obvious. You used to get, if there were six of us, you get one pay to get in, right? And then he'd sit at the front. Right on the corner where the emergency doors were, and then he'd walk over, push the doors open, and we'd all come running in and sit in front. So when you saw other kids do it, you thought, where the hell?
Yeah, I think I have done that.
Well, we used to do it.
I've done it where you come out of a movie and just run
not
into
left,
another screen.
Yeah. Just not left. Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah. But
But that's when the cinema was. I always remember that smell when you walked in and the popcorn smell and the sticky carpet.
It's exciting. It just costs too much money now. I mean, I'll tell you what. About 2 years ago, I took all of the kids, right? So me.
What?
Me,
what in the world?
Feed the children. Children of the world and whatnot. So it was me, the missus, my three kids and her two. So there was seven of us. Yeah,
Brady Bunch.
Help yourself to the bigger mix. No, get some flumps, not airdrops.
Ever guess how much it cost me? Like all in,
£72.
£40.
160 odd.
No,
my word. Tickets plus popcorn and drinks.
They
for
do
everybody.
Kill you on the old.
That's
food,
why Dave used to give us sandwiches.
I came out of there like I'd been raped.
It did not matter how good that film was. It did not matter.
What did you watch? I don't know.
Blacked out.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
Just disgusting. Really. But then that means I can't do that again. Ripple. Because then, you know, that's a day's money. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
the cinema's
dying,
isn't it? I mean,
it's a real shame, but they're just, it's like it's exploitation.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because it's a nice experience as well.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be. I mean, if you're the one paying, it's stressful. Even if you've got the money, it's not the point, is it? That's a ridiculous amount of money to take your family to watch a film for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I'll tell you what, at the O2, they used to, I don't know if they still do now, but when I had my daughter with me, on Saturday or Sunday mornings, they used to do cinema for £1.
I vaguely remember.
And they did cinema, it's literally for £1. £1 for me, not for my daughter. She was in for free.
Yeah.
So I had to pay £1 to get in, and obviously you buy popcorn and that. And they play like an old film. I took her to see Home Alone.
That's a great film.
I think The Grinch was on because it was around Christmas as well. But yeah, that was a brilliant. That was such, because obviously nobody's going on a Sunday. So they just open it up and say, look, we're playing our film, come watch it.
And the places, I mean, the old school cinemas, I mean, our one, we used to go to Woolwich, didn't we? Woolwich Town Centre, which is
by the
now,
ferry, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful big sort of Art Deco building.
Two stairs going up the sides.
Yeah, all the steps. It was like,
what screen we in?
Like tile panelled and that.
And that smell of popcorn takes me back to that moment.
That building's a church now, but nowadays, I mean, they, I don't know, they just had character. They were a lot like a theatre. They were a movie theatre,
weren't
they?
Yeah, gave you that. Yeah. And they had outside the kind of old school black letters sort of on the stands. And it's just really, I miss that. I do miss that.
When I was a kid, we used to have what they called Saturday morning pictures. And you used to go
Flicker books.
We used to go down. It's called Saturday morning. Only happens Saturday morning, obviously. It's just a way of getting kids.
When was it, Friday night?
Just a way of getting extra revenue. Like, so you have Saturday morning pictures, all kids queuing up outside. It's quite popular. We used to go down the old Camberwell Odeon, about sixpence to get in or whatever. And you'd go on there, you'd have a cartoon, you'd have a thriller that carried on every week to encourage you back, like the
cliffhanger.
Yeah, car would go over and then it's Dingo with the next week. But you had little things like that and maybe have pop groups doing a song. But the strange thing was, at the end of it, you just gone for about 2.5-3 hours or something like that. But at the end of it, they used to play the national anthem. But the kids didn't get up, and all the kids, for some reason, I've never understood. This is about 1963, 64, 65, something like that. And the kids, when the national anthem played, they used to stand up on their seats and do the Nazi salute.
Jesus!
Wow. Little bastards.
But none of where was she living, Dave? Munich?
Munchen.
I mean, no one
what
knew.
Did what did you
Nazis
say? Was she like,
were
at nine? Nine!
Yeah.
We didn't know what Nazis were. It's just saying some kids done and everyone done.
I would imagine
it
would be even more offensive then.
Traditional thing. I mean, it was just madness.
Imagine the old.
I just wonder if it was at other Saturday morning people, just Camberwell, I don't know.
Yeah, Camberwell shithole, though, isn't it? But I mean, that talking about that, it does make you think that the cinemas, they just stopped trying, didn't they? They're reliant, you know, like they used to draw people in.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, there's none of that. I mean, literally, there's a film you want to see. Generally, I just wait.
Yeah.
You know,
I used to love the curtains. The actual curtains opening.
Yeah,
it was a proper
movie theatre.
Back in
them days, there was only one film and it was on all week. Like American Graffiti in 1977 would be on that week.
That is showing this week.
And it used to be North London at the film, and so he knew what we were getting because he's been to South London the following week. So if you didn't like it, you just didn't go.
I think the last place I went to that I had any excitement for, obviously, I went to the Chinese Theatre in LA. and to watch a couple of films, and that was an experience because it was.
What did you see?
Gladiator.
Was nice.
Yeah, I like that. I was really happy with that. And then
2000,
some, yeah, and then some comedy film I've never seen since.
What's the film that?
No, not Gladiator. Sorry, 300. Sorry.
Oh yeah,
I like that. Yeah, we are Sparta.
Yeah.
What film disappointed you the most? That you thought, I must see that at the pictures. You went to see it and you thought, what a load of old crap.
Power Rangers.
You went to the cinema to see that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the first time I was on, I know that was when I went to see The Mask. I got a stone in my eye. Ended up in hospital.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you're blind.
My biggest disappointment was Independence Day. I remember when we stayed up in Macclesfield that time and we went to watch Twister.
Yeah, Twister, yeah.
Clip for Independence Day was just coming out just after. The clip came on and I ran out of the cinema.
Because so you didn't want to see it,
because
they
give much too much away.
Yeah, they do. Even more now.
In these previews.
They tell you the whole film.
Why on programmes do they show you what's coming up after the break?
Yeah. We're watching it.
We're going to watch it. Just
and then they give you a recap of what's happened already happened.
Oh, yeah.
My God. For Independence Day, I remember we went to, that was Woolwich.
Was it the Odeon, wasn't it?
Well, Odeon was one side, the ABC was the other, wasn't it? But I don't know. We went to the one, the other side to the Castle Pub.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely rammo. I hate it when people sit next to you, you don't know. And it was so full that there was people sitting next to you, you didn't know. So it was absolutely.
Don't bother me.
Absolutely chock a block.
I
thought, three quarters away for it. What a load of old crap.
I went into the cinema once and it was probably the last time it was ever packed. And it was packed, and we found our seats, and people were sitting in them. So my ex-wife I was with at the time, she said, oh, let's just sit here.
Boom.
Let's just sit here. So we sat down, and this massive bloke walked in and said to me, you're in my seat? And I said, in fear.
I'm not in your seat, in my seat.
I said, well, somebody's sitting in mine. He said, I don't care, get out of my seat. So I got up. And then went over to the people that were in my seat and said, sorry. So the first 10, 15 minutes of the film were just people getting up and going into their seat. And you can see all these heads going. And it just slowly but surely.
Like a game of Tetris from the back.
Yeah, it was.
But when he come over, couldn't she just put a spell on him and turned him into something? Like a pig or something.
I mean, she just looked at him and he turned to stone. Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. Other opinions are available. I mean, these genres as well. I mean, Ghost is about four different genres, which is original for what it. I mean, how was it sold?
I mean, it's almost. See, the good thing about Ghost. I mean, there's a lot of good things about Ghost, but it's almost a chick flick, but it's not quite.
Yeah, it's got that edge. Yeah.
It could have been Dirty Dancing, but it's not.
I know what you mean. I loved the bit where, like you said, the guy we hate when he's trying to transfer the money over, and he's like, he can't get it, and the chair moves behind him, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it's not all romance. That character is vital to me enjoying that film.
No, it's the ghost side of it, isn't it?
The bloke on the train. He's trying to push the trainer, isn't he?
Yeah, that's it.
The cat as well, that was good.
Yeah, that's right, that bloke, isn't he? Found him. Yeah, and obviously with the glass, when it comes down and kills him, and he's like, and he sits up and sees him, doesn't he? Sam?
And then and he gets sucked away by the babies. The backward babies.
Yeah, I don't like that. That used to scare me as a kid.
What didn't?
Not much. Yeah. And Pulp Fiction, it is so layered, isn't it? It's so intertwined and layered. If you take one character out of that, it's not the same story. It is incredible.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really.
How do you write something like that?
I mean, Amsterdam helps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where do you start? What character
in the mushroom
do you start
calf.
With? I mean, it is amazing.
I'd love to read the first sort of the idea where the ideas.
The initial, yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to know how long it took him from start, literally the idea to the finished thing. I mean,
did he write it as one story and then decide to chop it?
I mean, how else would you do it? It seems
bizarre,
amazing.
But you got to be some sort of genius to be able to.
Oh yeah,
you know, because I know that he had help. Because when he come back from Amsterdam, there was an Asian lady called Wen Chen or something like that. She helped him write to make sense of it all.
He kind of had it as a ball of string kind of thing.
She sort of, you know, helped him structure it. when Chen, something like that.
No idea.
Well,
no.
Well done, whoever that is. Yeah.
Mm.
And we ain't even mentioned what. What ain't no country I ever heard of? Yeah. And the was it the good burger? Is it the what is it the burger? Yes.
God damn it!
This is a tasty burger.
Yeah, and a milkshake.
It did look good. Yeah. And Marvin's the only survivor until the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, is a Royale with cheese better than an Emperor burger?
He knows I ate him. I wanted a cheeseburger.
I wanted a cheeseburger. He's given me an Emperor burger.
You got that the wrong way round again.
Oh, have I?
Yeah, Tommy does say it the wrong
way round. I do. Oh, yeah.
Shut up about that rotten burger, will ya?
Yeah. Trying to do a deal with ya. I mean, Tarantino, his best work came from the 90s, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was on a roll, wasn't he?
I didn't like Jackie Brown, though.
No, me too.
I heard a story about Tarantino. I don't know if it was Pulp Fiction, but he did a premiere here in England, in Leicester Square or whatever they do. And he left the party at God knows when in the morning, and he waved down a skip lorry driver and gave him $500 driving back to his hotel.
Can you
imagine being that dude?
Right, Quentin.
Did that actually happen?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. I read it in the paper years ago.
Must be true.
Yeah, it was the Star. I don't know, but I read it in the paper years and years ago. I'd love to think that is true. And that guy tells that story.
What have you got in the skip?
He just gave him an handful of money. To his hotel.
Yeah, but that makes me think, does he carry around large quantities
of
money?
Well, maybe, I don't know. But I'm trying not
to
think.
Why would you
like
wave
that
down a skip and not a cab?
Maybe no cabs.
Yeah, there's always cabs.
Well, I'm just saying, it's a nice story.
What was his skip doing around at 11 o'clock at night anyway?
Yeah, where was he going?
In the morning, to work, probably.
Nah, never happened.
Full of holes, this
Quinton,
story.
Get in contact. Do we want to know if that was true. Mr. Tarantino. You could come and join us for an episode. There you go.
I mean, if you wanted to. I mean, yeah, we know you're a big fan.
He must be the only cool Quentin in the world, doesn't he?
Well, is that...
Caroline Quentin.
I like that.
Rest my case.
Do we know if that was his birth name?
I don't know.
I mean, it does sound like a stage name.
It does.
I don't know. We'll have to Google it.
I'll Google it. Keep talking.
all right. How are you?
What do you reckon? Do you reckon it is or not?
All right, it is.
He's too out there, isn't it? But then knowing the films he makes, you couldn't... It would be a name he'd come up with.
His name's Ralph Spooner.
Charlie Chalk.
Sorry for all the Ralph Spooners out there.
Yeah, sorry, Ralph.
I bet if there's Ralph Spooner in this there, but his ears pricked up at that moment.
Fan of the decade.
All right, here we go. Quentin Jerome Tarantino.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow,
that is his
QJT.
Name. I would have put money on it not being.
Yeah,
I knew it was.
Never doubted.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Are you two ready to vote?
I'm ready to vote. I think Ghost is a very good film, but Pulp Fiction's a better film. So I'm definitely going Pulp Fiction.
I am as well. But yeah, Pulp Fiction is just epic. The Ghost is a fantastic movie.
So this is Fantastica.
Well, this is just... I mean...
We're making up words.
It's almost like Pulp Fiction is 10 times the movie Ghost is. Literally. Because the layers of it. It's not... You know, Ghost is a story. You start it, you finish it. You can watch Pulp Fiction about 3 times.
Yeah.
Before you really know what's happened. I mean, the first time I watched it, I was a little bit confused. And the second time... You know, it all just, right.
I mean, I can't hear that song without thinking, it was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well.
Never can tell, Chuck Berry.
When they whacked that syringe into her chest.
Oh, man.
They filmed it in backwards.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
obviously, yeah.
Yeah, he draws the little mark on her chest. You've got to go through the breastbone.
Yeah.
Are you voting, Robert?
This is a lot closer for me than I think used to, because this was Swayze, Moore, and Goldberg at their pinnacle, I think. And it all comes together so nicely, and it is romantic and really... The music as well.
Really romantical.
Yeah, it is really nice. And it's it has got everything.
Yeah.
It does tick so many boxes, but Pulp Fiction has more boxes to tick, and it ticks them even... Well,
it creates boxes.
Yeah, it's all ticking.
This one, it's just like... Think outside the box.
And it reveals itself as well as it goes. I mean, even when he's walking... Marcel Wallace is walking across the street and he goes, motherfucker, and he runs him over and then they end up in that shop. That's a little film in itself.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's 10 times the film. And I'm not saying it's 10 times better. It's just 10 times...
And you've got this little plots that, you know, him having to go back for his watch and find, you know, the Pop-Tart with...
And he's like, what? Yeah. He's in the toilet. His gun's on the side.
Yeah. I mean, and that's all things we've not even mentioned yet. You know, there's so much of it. And it is how he wrote that and how he came up with it is beyond me.
Immense. Astonishing. Yeah.
Immensely
so
genius.
It is 3-0 Pulp Fiction. Disappointingly, really, because Ghosts don't deserve that. But unfortunately, it's come up against the absolute mammoth.
Giant. It's a giant. Yeah absolutely. Mammoth.
And what does Pulp Fiction mean?
It's like...
It starts off with a quote, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just the opening thing, doesn't it?
It's like the zest of an orange that's not real.
They're the old, like, Mickey Spillane books, aren't they, from the 50s? They're like second-rate novels.
Yeah, I know.
Pulp fiction, because they get pulped if they're rubbish, or sort of thing.
Yeah, it's just... Well, it is a Pulp Fiction story. Fair enough. Sort of brought up to date.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Okay.
We are going to end on a song. Pulp Fiction is going
for... Are we going to do the draw for the next one?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. We keep forgetting this, don't we? It's your setup, Dave. You've got to remember this.
All right.
It's your thingaling.
I'm going to go first, and it is... Oh, this could be dangerous. Could get caught up here. It's Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day.
Oh, wow.
Bill it's Murray. Groundhog Day.
Versus...
It's Groundhog Day.
This is a big one. Saving Private Ryan. One of my faves.
Ooh, right there.
That could be a close one.
These, again, two very different genres, but we shall discuss this.
Bill Murray. Just say his name makes smile, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. So Tom Hanks up against Bill Murray in the next round. Brilliant. thank you, everyone, for listening. Pulp Fiction has gone through 3-0 to Ghost. We've got a little song here we're going to end on. It's called Drunk Love. By Sydney...
It's the best kind.
I'm going to spell the surname because I can't. DeJore? Sydney DeJore. DeJorey. Sydney DeJore. It's a really sweet song. She's got a really nice voice. Enjoy it and we'll see you next time.
Toodle pipsky.
Bye. Bye. I'll pretend it don't hurt no more. Guess I close my heart behind the door. Anticipation about the memories from before. It's taking people I got is for. Everyone has been scarred, ripped to pieces, and torn apart by the guy who said he loved you. Person you thought that you only call me when you're drunk, love. You say I'll never be enough, love. That irreparable damage along with all those bad habits. You only call me when you're drunk. Bye.
talking and you're caught with another girl. Stop rewind to when I